Good morning. We welcome you to worship. It's cold outside. It needs to snow. If it's going to be this cold, it needs to snow. Otherwise, it needs to be mid-70s. Right? We welcome you to worship. We're glad that you are here this morning. A few announcements as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad. Write your name down. Give us contact information if you choose. And once everybody is done on your pew, if that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, would you please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. A couple quick announcements. Regular schedule today, this afternoon and into the evening. Today we are having children's time, so the kids will come down and meet with me for just a few moments after that first hymn. Also, this Wednesday is our Ash Wednesday service. We invite everyone to come. That service will begin at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We'll have dinner as normal, and then the worship will start at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Everyone is invited. Just a reminder, with the threat of snow, I know that you're going to be going to get your French toast requirements. Why does everybody go get bread and eggs and milk? Is everybody making French toast when it snows? I don't understand. Everybody's making French toast. And so, in the event that school is canceled or they are released early due to the weather conditions, there is no church. We want you to have church at home where you're warm, but we will not be gathering here for Wednesday night activities or if there are other days. If school is canceled or released early because of weather, there is no church. We'll also put it on the phone system. We'll get it on the TV as well. So I want you to make note of that policy. I think that's all the announcements. Other things are listed there. Upcoming events, opportunities for the week. We want to say a special welcome to our guest. We appreciate you giving us the information a few moments ago on the pew pad. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. I had a birthday party I had to go to yesterday. I mean, not that I had to go to, that I enjoyed going to yesterday. It was a four-year-old birthday party at Jungle Rapids in Wilmington. Basically, it's organized chaos for four-year-olds. And that was a lot of fun to watch them. And then I had to drive 4 hours home last night. And I got in the wind. Anybody have trees down in your yard yesterday or last night? And, well, about the time we hit Greensboro, the wind came through. And I was just holding on for dear life. Holding that car, swaying back and forth. And I was just praying, God, get me home, get me home, get me home, get me home. And sometimes that's the only prayer that we can have. Is God, just get me home. When it's sometimes our lives are just so chaotic and things are being thrown at us left and right. And the only prayer is just, God, just get me home. Isn't it good to be home today? Isn't it good to be home in this place where people know you? And are glad that you're here, and we as a family get to worship God. So whatever's blowing in your life, whatever's chaos in your life, you and I are home. Let's prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, we know at the name of Jesus, everything makes sense. In the name of Jesus, sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, lives are renewed. In the names of Jesus, we are forgiven and made whole with purpose. So we come to praise you. We come to proclaim your name as truth for our lives and for this world. So come in this place, we pray. May all that's done here be done to glorify you in Jesus' name.
Towels to lay on the ground. Now here's why. By listening. to the beach that we would take to the mountains? No. Do you need a big heavy coat when you go to the mountains in the cold? Do you need a heavy coat when you go to the beach? No. Well, Pastor Raymond, this morning, he's going to talk about, we're going to start a journey. We're going to be pulling down our road. And there are things that you and I have to do to prepare, to get ready. There are things that God wants us to work on. There are things that you and I, we have to learn. Let me see. The backpack, you take a backpack when you go to school, right? And you put your homework in there, maybe you put your lunch in there. There are things that you need at school. There are things that you and I need to work on, like, is it kind of hard to be nice to people when they're not nice to you? Is it kind of hard when they're mean to you, or they take your toys? Is it kind of hard to be nice to them? Yeah. Well, sometimes, that's what God wants us to work on. Do stuff that's not always easy, like loving people, even when they do something nice. This week, can you do that for me?
Yes.
Can you do that for me?
I like it.
Good job. Okay? Will you pray with me? We love you. And we know that you want to prepare us where you want us to go. Just like when we're packing to go to the beach, there are things that we need to get ready for. Like being nice to people, even when they're not nice to us. And listening to our mommies and our daddies and our grandmommies and granddaddies and doing what they say. Help us to get ready to go on this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good listening. Good listening.
Before I read our scripture for us today, and by the way, it's Psalm 50, 1 through 6, if you want to prepare to read along with me in your Bible or the Pew Bible. But anyway, I just want to thank you so much for your prayers for our family and the loss of my aunt in Charleston, and 2 weeks later, the loss of her son at 54 years old, my first cousin, Aunt Mary's son, David, who was killed tragically in an accident while at work. And he was the technical director of the Performing Arts Center in Charleston and was involved in an accident there. So we were called back down. And thank you for your prayers. Conducting services for funerals, you know, is always heavy because, you know, we love each person that we're involved with. But for your own family, I did need that extra measure of prayer, and I thank you for that. And then came home under the weather. So sick, but now I'm well, I'm healed, which is great. Now pray for Ken, because now he's got it. Like, you know, happy Valentine's Day. Anyway, so yeah, y'all can pray for him. Anyway, thank you a lot. We love you and really, really appreciate you. I would like to read from Psalm 50. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest wages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness. For he is a God of justice. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin our journey into the Lenten season, we pray that you would soften our spirit towards you, that we may hear your voice speaking to us what we need to hear the most. Each one of us is on a different path, different journey, a unique journey, in a different place. Father, we all need to pause where we are before the cross and to ask you to reveal to us the mysteries of your love, to reveal to us what we need to be all that you're calling us to be as individuals as well as a church body. Remind us that there is nothing in this world and in our lives more important than our relationship with you. Remind us that outside of Jesus, there is no true meaning or purpose in life. remind us that the distractions that pull at us may seem good, but they only keep us from the very best. And that is a deep and rich and abiding relationship with you that guides us through every day. And, O Lord, we know you're intimately involved in all the details of our lives as we place our trust in you, and that you want only the best for each of us, and that you have wonderful plans for each of us if we just pause to listen. And then in our listening on our journey this Lenten season, give us the courage to be bold and to obey, to do exactly what you tell us to do. Remind us that forgiveness and grace is found at the foot of the cross, that the blood of our precious Savior was spilled that we could have forgiveness and be covered and clothed in righteousness in your eyes. Thank you for sending your Son, and may we afresh and anew come and stand before you, bow before you, the ears of our heart open to what you have for us, what you want to tell us. Don't let us miss out on all that you have, on who you are, how much you love us, on that wonderful experience of walking daily with you. Thank you for every day. It is a gift from you. Help us, Lord, to give each day back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You get a unique perspective of the service sitting in the choir loft. And we are blessed to have ministers that allow us to have audience participation moments in the sermon. Jeff, of all days, Jeff didn't have his mic working. Oh, well. But we're helping Jeff, whether he knows it or not, in the choir loft. Would you take a heavy coat to the beach? And I've got choir members going, yeah, if I was going today, I'd take a heavy coat. And I'm just saying, work with him, work with him. Let him get his point across. So
Like I said, it's a unique perspective, and I'm sure what Mary, Jeff, and Raymond hear Sunday after Sunday, they could definitely write a book. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your house. Lord, we look forward to this time where we can be together, share, fellowship, worship, laugh, and feel the Spirit. Lord, we are grateful for our staff. We are grateful for every single person that is involved in this church body. Lord, as we come to this time of the service where we return to you a portion of what we have gained, Lord, please use that gift to further your kingdom and for service to all. For it's in your blessed name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Jeff has already announced that Wednesday night is our Ash Wednesday service. It's one of the services that I really look forward to. It's a very meaningful time to gather as God's people and to worship together as we begin the season of Lent. Lent is one of those observances, one of those periods during the course of the church year where I think our congregation has an opportunity to join with other congregations, other churches around the world in our Lenten journey, our journey to the cross. And of course, that begins with Ash Wednesday. Now, one of the most common statements about Lent, people typically will talk about Lent and then they'll say, well, what are you giving up for Lent? As in the past, I've said, well, you know, may not be a bad question. I think the better question is, instead of what are you giving up, what are you drawing closer to? Who is it that you're drawing closer to? Hopefully our answer is the person of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, God the Father. That's who we're drawing closer to. But I'm okay with the whole giving up something for Lent. Last year, I know my daughter gave up soft drinks for Lent, which she doesn't really drink anyway, which is a whole nother discussion. You know, but sometimes the whole question of what are you giving up for Lent goes to an otherwise good opportunity. Things will generally come up like, well, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent, or I'm giving up texting while driving for Lent. And I'm like, you're not supposed to do that anyway. But you know, you get a lot of different comments when you ask people about Lent. What does Lent mean to you? Perhaps this Sunday, the last Sunday in Epiphany, which is the season that we're ending up in the church calendar, we can use the text from Mark chapter 9 that we'll get to in just a moment. We can use that to genuinely prepare for our journey to the cross, because that's what Lent is. It's an opportunity to journey together to the cross. And in our journey, maybe we can genuinely prepare for Jesus' suffering, his death, his resurrection. And maybe that preparation takes on a personal, note, but I think it also takes on a corporate note. We as the body of Christ, as a community of faith. So let me challenge you, maybe this Lent, rather than giving up something, even if you can do that and if you want to do that, let's focus on perhaps the biblical preparation that the disciples went through before they began that first journey to the cross. Our text comes from Mark chapter 9. I invite you to turn with me. It's a short text. You will no doubt recognize it as what we call the Transfiguration story. It's in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Verse 6, one of the most profound things in Scripture. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. So Peter, not knowing what to say and being a good extrovert, just opened his mouth and something fell out. Rabbi, let's build some shelters. You want to? We can do this to commemorate the day. The Bible is so real, isn't it? It really is. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Where have we heard those words before? The baptism. These key moments in Jesus' life, God breaks into human history and said, this is my boy. This is my son. I'm proud of him. Listen to him. God breaks in and blesses that moment. Verse 8, suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Interesting passage of Scripture. It really is. We've used it before as part of our Revised Common Lectionary readings. This time around, I was reading some things by Pastor David Mosser in Arlington, Texas, as well as a couple of comments from the couple of commentaries I have that really kind of pointed me in a little bit different direction on this passage of Scripture, because I believe that in this first Lenten journey, if you will, God is using the circumstances to point these disciples into a beginning point of preparation. Preparation. It's all about preparing. Now, typically in the Lenten season, we have times of confession, and we'll start those next week. They'll be integrated into the worship service. We'll have structured times of confession and prayer, a little bit more earnest in our prayer life. And prayer is one of those things when you ask people, what is it you would like to do better during the season of Lent? A lot of people say, well, I wish my prayer life were just a little bit more consistent. Well, I was talking to my sister in England this week. She's preaching over there today at the base in England. And I hope that you will, it's already happened, so I guess praying for now helps any, but they're ahead of us, 5 hours ahead of us. But she was telling me about something that they had going on over there in England. It's at Manchester University. And I was so excited about that, I thought I would share it with you this morning. And I shared a picture in the 9 o'clock service. You can't really see it real well in here. This is as big as I could get it. But the choir can give you instant feedback on this little booth. It's called a Pray-O-Mat. And what it is it's, they take the concept of a laundromat, and they took an old picture booth, and they converted it over to a Pray-O-Mat. I'm not kidding you. This is for real. It's Manchester University. Let me read you the news release on it. It said, a praying booth has been installed at Manchester University as part of a 3-year research project on multi-faith spaces in the United Kingdom and abroad. The Pray-O-Mat, which was a photo booth until it was converted by German artist Oliver Sturm, offers over 300 pre-recorded prayers and incantations in 65 languages, all via a touchscreen. The machine is free to use and aims to provide a space for students to pray at their convenience. Choices include Our Father in German and English, Buddhist and Islamic benedictions, Aborigines devotional songs, that would be interesting, and even the solemn chanting of an Orthodox Jewish congregation. Sturm collected many of the prayers himself, while some were taken from radio archives. And then you skip on down the article, and Crompton, who is Andrew Crompton, who is a senior lecturer at Liverpool University working on that project, he said it could be the answer to places that require temporary prayer space, such as airports or train stations. Now you think about it, if you're getting ready to get on an airplane, that'd be a good time to pray. So that's perhaps appropriate. And as I was talking to her, she said they went on to read in the story where after you step into the Pray-O-Mat and have your little touchscreen prayer, then you have an option where it can take your picture in your perhaps most pious, prayerful mode. I don't know. I don't know. I don't write this stuff. I just tell you about it. Stephen Overby in the first service suggested that they also have an internet link to where right after you take your pious, prayerful pose, you can upload that directly to Facebook right there, and your friends can see you praying, and what a wonderful thing that would be. Prayer is one of those things that's so deeply personal. We can laugh about that, but at the same time, you know, we question, how do we improve our prayer life? Does it take us going into a booth to pray? Well, certainly not. Well, certainly not. But what is it in our life that reminds us we need to be praying? What is it? Maybe this story from Mark can serve to help us put all of that in proper perspective. You see, the account we read today tells us the disciples, they've been with Jesus for quite some time. They're quite a ways in their journey together. And right before they're sent up to this mountain of transfiguration, there's two events which really, I believe, put context onto the whole transfiguration story. First of all, in Matthew chapter 8, do you remember when Jesus is kind of quizzing the disciples? And he asked them, who do people say that I am? Do you remember that? Okay, he kind of goes through, they respond to that. And then he says the more important question is, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Guys, you've been with me for a while now. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, always the first to speak, says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." That's profound. The second thing in context is the fact that Jesus goes on to summarize what that means. What it means to be the Messiah. What it means to be the Christ. The Messiah will suffer. He will be rejected by the religious authorities. He will be killed. And yet his final word to them is one of hope. He says, "And after 3 days, I'll rise again." After experiencing all of that, I will rise again. The hope that Jesus is offering seems to get lost on Peter, though, as was often the case, who immediately rebukes Jesus to his face. And Jesus strikes him dead. I'm just kidding. He really does. That's what I would have done. You know, think about it. You're the Messiah, and you've got this disciple that rebukes you to your face. What would you have done? Yeah. Yeah, we get a little commentary from the choir. He doesn't do that, though. He rebukes him, but he does it gently. He says, "You know, Peter, you've got your mind on the wrong things. Your mind is so wrapped around human stuff. This existence. The temporary. What you need to do is try to wrap your mind around the divine. The stuff that really matters. The stuff that's eternal." But if you think about it, For the disciples, that whole conversation could have seemed a little gloomy and doom for what they were getting ready to experience. I mean, from there, they went up to this, experienced Christ's glory in the transfiguration. The disciples must have been seriously questioning why Jesus was so gloomy about being the Messiah. You would have thought it had been something to rejoice over. Clearly, Mark is telling the gospel readers here that the disciples really just didn't get it yet. They were not ready to understand fully who Jesus was or why he had come here. Perhaps later they're going to understand. Maybe after the resurrection. I think all of them did understand. But for the disciples to proclaim Jesus as Messiah at this point in Mark's story reminds us of Yahweh's words to Job in Job chapter 38 when he says, "Who is this?" He's talking to Job. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me." You get what's going on there? The point there is, in Job and in respect to the disciples in Mark here, neither one of them understood the ways of God nor what was happening on a much larger cosmic scale. They just didn't get it. You see, the view from the mountain was a view to give them perspective. That's why they were there. You see, before Jesus' mountaintop revelation, the disciples were both perplexed and afraid. But all people need perspective. Even disciples, and I would argue especially disciples, need perspective. And by perspective, I simply mean gaining an insight into separating what is truly important from things that only seem important. We live cluttered lives. And sometimes things that seem important, if you take a step back, you go, "Whoa, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?" John Dewey was an American psychologist, philosopher, educator. And in the book, A Common Faith, he kind of gave this definition, broad definition of religion, or the religious, if you will. It says, "Whatever introduces genuine perspective into the piecemeal and shifting episodes of existence." That's kind of a good shot at it. What offers or introduces genuine perspective? You see, because the truth is, unless we're looking for the right things with a proper perspective, then we'll never see what it means, what it really is to be God's people. Why are we here? It's about perspective. I read the story this week about a husband who really didn't see things in proper perspective when his wife asked him to go to the grocery store. She gave him a shopping list, And he was going about his business, and he was collecting the items on the shopping list, and he got to one item that stumped him a little bit. It said, a 19-inch graham cracker pie crust tin. Well, he found the pie crust section, and he's looking there, but he couldn't find any 19-inch graham cracker pie crust. The manager of the grocery store was there, and he asked him about it, and the manager said, well, we're out of those. We'll have more Monday. Yeah, right. But he says, you know, my wife needs it today. She sent me to get it today. She's expecting it today, so the search continued. Well, after going through about 10 or more employees and some random customers who he thought looked like they may be able to help him. You know, you see, there was a covered dish dinner at stake here, people. You understand. It's like College Parkers were meeting or something, and we've got to have this. Finally, he finds a woman who's sympathetic, says, let me see that list. So he shows it to her. And she says, you know, could it be that perhaps your wife meant 1 9-inch pie crust tin instead of a 19-inch graham cracker pie crust tin? Mystery solved. But being a man, he did buy 2 of those 9 inches to make up 18 inches total in case he was wrong. He's covering himself on the deal, you see? You see, if we're looking in the wrong direction, if we're looking for the wrong thing, then we get to the wrong place. We never get where we need. We never get that proper divine perspective on life. So let's go back to that idea about prayer. How do we gain perspective? I would argue it's through prayer. It's that conversation. Notice I did this. You know, we talk to God, we listen to God. Okay? It's two ways. Prayer. The life of prayer offers this divine perspective, and it's why we speak about prayer at Lent, during the season of Lent, perhaps more than we do other times of the church year. By example, we follow Christ's example. Prayer is not simply something that we need when we feel out of control, like in the emergency room or something. It's not just about that. Prayer helps us keep perspective at all times. Prayer is something that helps us keep perspective for those who want to follow Christ. We have to understand that the life that God has given us is always out of our control. Or should be out of our control. And for us control freaks, that's hard to acknowledge. And that's kind of the rub. You know, for those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, we have to acknowledge it's not about us. It's not about our control. We acknowledge that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with all that you are. Honor God with all that you have. Honor God. You are bought at a price. You are not your own. The Transfiguration was this pivotal piece, this moment in history of pure experience for the disciples that were there. This experience showed them in a mysterious way that Jesus was precisely who he claimed to be. Seeing who Jesus really is, in fact, is what is necessary for God to transform us. If we are Christ ones, if we are Christians, if we are believers in the Christ, we acknowledge who Jesus really is. And that is the beginning of transformation. A healthy spiritual person is one that would read the passage from Romans 12 and nod their head. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Paul is given instruction. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. Not your will, the will of God. Transformation is a quest for life's meaning, and it allows God to change us into what God created us to be in the first place. Before we piled all the junk on top, God takes the stuff of the brain and the heart, and he shapes it into a unique creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. You, me, everyone here. Unique, beautiful creatures, creations in Christ. So clearly, I would argue, the task of the church, one of the most important things we do at church, is make disciples. We journey with one another, we encourage one another, we teach, we instruct, we do all of those things as we are being transformed into what God created us to be. Loving one another, supporting one another, all the way. The disciples, as they were on that mountain of transfiguration, no doubt gained a new perspective on life. No doubt. My prayer for us is that for each one of us, during the season of Lent, we would gain that spiritual, that heavenly perspective on life. What it's really all about. And it would truly be a time of transformation for us, personally and as a congregation. Let's pray and ask God for his help. Gracious Father, we confess we are control freaks, every one of us in some form or fashion. We want to run our own lives. Somehow we've bought the lie that we're going to do better at that than you. Forgive us of our arrogance. Father, forgive us of those times when we push you away, when you have something much better than we have planned for ourselves, and we accept or we settle for the things of this world rather than the things that you desire for us deeply. God, we love you. You know our hearts. We do love you. But we get so cluttered up in life. We pray that during this time of Lent, especially during this time, that you would teach us, convict us, encourage us as we set aside the things that would distract us from being what you've created us to be, and that we would gain a divine perspective unlike any other. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. If you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, that's priority number one. I invite you, receive him today. I'll be here at the front and I'll be glad to talk with you about how you can do that. Or I'll be glad to meet with you sometime this week. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but I'm just so distracted by stuff and everything. Settle that with God today. Confess that to him. Set it aside. Let him work through you today. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this congregation, there are many ways we receive new members, including, you know, watch care for those who are in the area temporarily or college students or things of that nature. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing. invite you, following the benediction, greet one another, offer a word of encouragement. And then as you go out into this place, be sure and bundle up. It's pretty cold out there. So let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather as your children. Father, to seek your face, to seek what you desire for us. Father, as we go from here, we do pray that we would have an opportunity, even in cold weather and what seems to be weather that would keep us in, Father, that your spirit would flow out of us and others would see Christ through us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.